The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Time now for What to Watch. I'm joined in studio by Serena Bellissimo, entertainment journalist and D-Ready entertainment journalist and podcaster. Serena's going to kick us off with Elio.
Yeah, the newest from Pixar. This is, I'm going to tell you straight away, I'm wearing my heart on my sleeve. This is gorgeous. Pixar are back in form. He is a space fanatic and he's got a really active imagination. His auntie works at an army base that's also got like investigating into supernatural stuff. And he thinks that there's something more out there. He ends up.
And is he just a person or is he a toy, a baby fridge, a robot?
He's a little kid.
Okay.
So yeah, isn't that unusual? Because you don't see a lot of just kids anymore in these.
And this is. And do you know what? It's almost like Monsters University. It's not like Monsters University, but in the case that there's a little kid
and then
there's aliens. So he gets to connect with aliens. Everything's going well until it's not. And I'm not going to say more than that because with these things, it's just nice to go in and just enjoy it as it's unfolding on screen.
There is a theory that says that the reason you don't see people a lot in these things is the uncanny valley. That thing of, do you remember, what was that Tom Hanks thing with the Midnight Express, the train?
Yes.
Where they did animation.
Oh, the Polar Express.
The Polar Express.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it's just close enough to reality to make everybody go, ugh, that's creepy. Where does this fit on that spectrum?
This is animation. So they haven't tried to do, Polar Express was scary because you know when they do try and do.
It's too realistic, but also not realistic enough.
Yeah.
So it does instill that sort of like, ugh.
So if you're going to do, I've always said, if you're going to try and do realistic, just get humans.
Sure.
And if you're going to do animation, just animate.
I'd read as well that the reason you don't see actual humans, you have humanoid characters, but is to make it work across different markets because
that makes sense.
They're, you know, if it's, you know, if it's
a talking toaster is universal.
Yeah, exactly.
This is, it's just beautiful. I watched it. It's, as I said, it's Pixar at its best. It's adventurous, it's vibrant. It's tugging on your heartstrings, but it's not cheesy. Like at the end, I was going to kill my 9 and 14-year-old because they were both looking at me and I'm going, you want me to cry? And then the tears started and they're like hitting each other going, she did it again. She's crying again. But in saying that, I did cry. It's beautiful. All of us liked it. And there's all different age ranges that went to this. So my husband liked it. My 9-year-old son absolutely loved it. He loved, everyone talks about Elio, but there's his sidekick called Glauden. He fell in love with Glauden. Both him and his 14-year-old sister were just like, it was really heart-melting and heart-touching. And it was just like, yeah.
Is it funny?
It's funny. It doesn't overstay its welcome. It's just...
It sounds like a bit of a return to form for Pixar. Like, I'm really looking forward to seeing that based on your review there.
Yeah, and do you know what? I had no idea who the voice cast was. And in the voice cast, you've got Zoe Saldana, you've got Brendan Hunt, you've got Brad Garrett, Jamelia Jamil. I didn't care. And that's what a good animation's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be about the voice cast. It's supposed to be about the animation.
God, Jamelia Jamil, there is a bit of a blast from the past. She hasn't done much recently, has she?
I know. No, I haven't seen her in a while. But
So a wholehearted... we've been WhatsApping. Wholehearted recommendation.
Go see this with the family. It's gorgeous. And it comes in under 100 minutes, I think. So, like, it's great.
All right, D, that sets a high bar for you. What are you kicking off with, The Mountain Head?
I am going to kick off with The Mountain Head, yeah. So this is relatively new. It just landed in the last 2 weeks, I think, on both Sky and Now TV. Really, really surprising one because the reason you wouldn't have heard maybe a lot of build-up around it, like very often these films, and it's with the cast that it has, which is Steve Carell and Jason Schwartzman, and the creator, which is, of course, Jesse Armstrong of Succession, huge fame. And this is the first feature film that he has written and directed himself. And he only started making it in March, guys. So we wouldn't have had the kind of trailer drop a year ago, or the kind of interviews when they wrapped production. This literally came together in the couple of months since then. It's quite amazing. It all takes place in one place, which is this incredibly luxurious new house up in the mountains of Utah that is owned by Jason Schwartzman's character. And he invites three other pals of his, all tech billionaires, to come and hang out for a weekend with him. They're going to play poker. They're not going to talk shop. They're going to have an intellectual salon. And then because of an AI tool that one of these guys has dropped in the days leading up to it, global chaos unleashes. And so we get to watch their reactions to financial markets breaking down, to whole countries toppling in real time. And it's so brilliantly written.
It sounds like the kind of piece that lives or dies on the dialogue.
It really does, yeah. But I think he's crafted these characters really, really well. They rang very, very true in a deeply horrifying way. There's the kind of character Jason Schwartzman plays, who's the host. He's the only one that isn't a billionaire, right? Bit of a loser, yeah. So his nickname is Soups, for Soup Kitchen, right? So this is the kind of toxic masculinity that is at play here, and it's brilliantly played. Steve Carell's character is worth a mention as well, because he's obviously the kind of the grandfather of them all. He would have invested, would have been the OG investor in a lot of their massively successful companies. And he has, at the very outset of the film, he has been informed that he has incurable cancer. And so his real thing here is basically, okay, let's step this up, because we need to get to post-human, that idea of kind of transhumanism, of people linking with technology. And like, that's basically his play for the whole movie. It's fascinating, it's very funny, but it is also deeply disturbing.
Is it realistic enough, or is it caricature?
It is actually quite realistic. I mean, Jesse Armstrong, I think, has always been very, very good at capturing an almost campness to these people that consider themselves to be incredibly erudite and incredibly important. And he manages to make them silly without the actors needing to act silly, if that makes sense.
When I heard about this project, actually, I thought, because it was Jesse attached to it, that it'd be a TV series. I wish, and that's where I've read a few things where people just like, I wish he'd just developed it maybe into even a 4 or 6 episode TV series rather than a film.
Well, funny you should say that, because I was on Reddit after kind of seeing what people's response to it. And it's one of those things. People either really, really like it or they really don't like it. And I think that's often better than something that's middle ground. But a number of people thought that it was just a really long pilot episode and that there'd be more. So they were obviously left disappointed, yeah, because there was nothing else coming down the line.
And that's streaming Sky and Now TV?
And Now TV, yes.
We have another one then, Serena, which is We Were Liars, which seems, is there similarities between that and Mountain Head?
Sort of, but not really. It's about rich people again. Yeah. At the moment, it seems like...
just different types of rich
people. Yeah, and that's like, Hollywood always seems to go through this thing where they make stuff about the same stuff all the time until the point where you are so over it. I wish, like we were saying, we wish Mountain Head was a series. I wish this was a film. I think this would have been better served if it was a 90-minute film. It's based on a very popular young adult novel of the same name, We Were Liars. This came to prominence because of TikTok, BookTok. Basically, it's about the Sinclair family, and it focuses on the grandkids, well, the middle grandkids. So they're like 16 years of age and they're a tight-knit group. And then it's all about, you know, the Sinclairs who try and pretend that they're the perfect family, but are they really? It's all about the skeletons in the closet and these four kids telling... they're not the only ones who lie. There's a whole heap of secrets.
Feels like we've seen this 900 times in 9
yeah,
different ways.
We've seen it with was it The Perfect Couple with Nicole Kidman?
Yes.
It's the same sort of thing over and over and over. This actually felt like it was very try-hard, very corny. And I was just like, we don't need 8 episodes here. If you're a fan of the book, you might enjoy this. If you are a fan of the book, you need to know they took some liberties in that they developed other characters, so there's far too many storylines happening. The acting isn't great. Except, is it Mummy Gummer? Is that
Mamie Gummer? Meryl Streep's daughter.
There we go. She's in this. And not because she's Meryl Streep's daughter, but she is the one that gives the best performance. If you're not into these types of things, stay away. It's like popcorn for the brain.
This brings us to one that I'm emotionally invested in, so I hope that you are going to say it is good. 28 years later.
Yes, I saw it last night.
Good.
I really enjoyed it,
I have to
say. Yeah, it was, it's kind of hard to know, I suppose, with such a beloved original film and then a second film 28 weeks later that a lot of people didn't like. I personally did quite like myself. This is... really something else. It kind of...
No Cillian Murphy.
No Cillian Murphy. And honestly, there was a bit of a laugh in the cinema when people saw the actual zombie that had been mistaken for Cillian Murphy back when the trailer... Like, God love Cillian Murphy. Like, to be mistaken for that now is a bit harsh. Not very nice. But yeah, there was a really strong crowd reaction to it in the cinema. And I think what's really clever here is, you know, we've had sequels to zombie films before or series or, you know, series that play that out longer in the aftermath. What's by making it be 28 years later, you're seeing not just an evolution of the monster or the dangers that they're dealing with, you're actually seeing the evolution of the societies that have been left behind, of the people, of the social breakdown.
Oh, three decades of fear and survival.
Yeah, it's really quite amazing how they do it. And there's some absolutely sort of brilliant little reminders of... where, without hitting you over the head with it, of the fact that our timeline, our shared timeline with these people ended in 2002. So one is quite poignant. There's a shot, a beautiful shot actually, of the Sycamore Gap, that tree that was cut down by vandalists in 2023. So that's still there in this timeline. And then there is a reference to a celebrity that would leave a lot of people in shock towards the end of the film. I don't want to ruin it because it's actually such a brilliant moment. But it's just towards the very, very end of the film. And you could see people responding to it going, what? Am I meant to laugh at this? What's going on? And then you remember, oh, people would have felt differently about that person in 2002. So that's all I'll say on that.
I see. So again... wholehearted recommendation.
Yeah, really, really wholehearted recommendation on that one.
And in cinemas from tomorrow. Oh, Serena, that even, doesn't look like a positive.
I can't do it. I see the poster and I freak out.
Really?
Poster.
See, I love, love, love zombie films. Yeah. This one, though, I will say, it's
no,
not...
World War Z? No?
This one is more poignant and sad than scary.
No, I can't. I freak out. Everyone knows I freak out over The Last of Us. Like, I see zombies and I'm just like, no. Honestly, I see the poster and I have to...
I Am Legend. Wow. I Am Legend, no? Yeah. Twist, really?
I love zombies so much, I've even gone deep on things like watched Flight of the Living Dead, which is an outbreak on a plane. Very funny visual gag, though, where if somebody gets bitten and they have their seatbelt on, they're just stuck in their chair waving their arms for the whole movie.
Yeah, no.
But that is the only good bit of that film. It's poor.
You guys go and enjoy.
Thank you. Wrap us up with Deep Cover, Dee.
Oh, Deep Cover. Yeah, just something a bit frothier because both of mine were quite dark there. Deep Cover, brand new. It was only screened at Tribeca last week and then Amazon have put it now up for streaming 2 days later. So it's available there. It's Bryce Dallas Howard. It's a British action comedy film. Also stars Orlando Bloom and Nick Mohammed. And basically they play improv actors who are hired by the police to go undercover because the cops are actually really bad at doing it themselves. So they send in this gormless team of improv actors and it hilarity ensues. Yeah, it's a bit of crack.
Sean Bean, am I right in saying he doesn't get on planes?
Oh.
Do I have that right?
How do you know that?
Maybe he's also seen Flight of the Living Dead.
It could be that. I know, I might be totally wrong on this, but I have a sense that I remember that Sean Bean hates flying and therefore only gets things that are within a boat journey. I could be totally wrong. I may have made that up.
I would love to be in your brain for even just 5 minutes, Anton.
Serena Bellissimo and Dee Reddy, thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.